Nibsy, how are you doing?
Good, mate. Good. I just got back about an hour and a half ago from camping on the Murray River, which divides Victoria and New South Wales. So that was quite nice. We were gone for 2 nights.
Lawrence, now that you're back here, you can ask the question. Okay, I'll do it. Did you fight any kangaroos?
No, I didn't fight any kangaroos. There was actually none in sight. The most dangerous time is when they run out on the road in front of your car. That's when it's the worst. Because they're big creatures. They're not small.
Oh, no. Fucking
hell. Didn't go rooboxing, did you? Didn't go rooboxing.
No, we didn't go rooboxing.
Oh, it sounds nice.
Quite good, mate. Yeah. Restrictions are off for camping. So everybody just went camping this weekend. Like, I reckon half of Melbourne would have been empty.
Bloody
really?
Yeah.
You won't find me camping.
Yeah, I'll never go camping.
Dom, did we ever go camping together, Dom? I don't think we did we?
No, Lawrence. Neither of us like camping. Why would you? Yeah.
How dare you?
You don't like camping. What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not really a big fan of it. I mean, it's okay if you've gone for like a big trek to like a beautiful warm weather country and you're by the beach, you're gonna go surfing. Okay, fine, I'll camp for that. But I'm not gonna camp in England in a shitty, rainy tent which smells like sweat and piss. I enjoyed camping at Tomorrowland. That was good. Festival camping was alright.
You will never ever find me in a festival for as long as I live. I will never go to a festival.
Right, okay.
I don't understand festivals. Like, I can't think of anything worse than tromping around in mud, being barged from shoulder to shoulder by some two kids either side of me dressed in lycra and fluorescent paint, and everyone shouting to song lyrics that don't exist. Doesn't make any sense.
But you'd go to a Microsoft seminar.
Yeah, that sounds really fun, actually.
Walking around talking about code with a bunch of fucking white guys who never see the sun, they're always indoors. Fuck up.
Hello, you are listening to TW3. We're the show that highlights the world's insanities. We tackle the fake news that plagues us, and we make fun of those that deserved it. This week, I am joined by Lawrence Ray, live from London. And all the way down under, we have Nibsy.
Hey guys, how you going?
So this week, in the wake of George Floyd's murder by US police, the Black Lives Matter movement has spread across the world. In an effort to quell the violence, Donald Trump tear gassed the protesters outside the White House and walked over to his local church that he never goes to for a photo op with a Bible that he's never read. As is usually the case with, well, just about anything Donald Trump does or says, the game was on to diagnose this latest episode. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau took first go.
We saw protesters tear gas yesterday to make way for a presidential photo op. I'd like to ask you what you think about that, and if you don't want to comment, what message do you think you're sending?
Is that Justin Trudeau?
Well, no, it is, but it's not, but it is.
What do you mean?
Well, listen to it.
What do you mean?
It's very silent here, guys. He doesn't know what to say about America. That was the whole point.
Oh, is that? Is this him? Is this him in silence?
Yeah, it's still him now.
We all watch in horror and consternation what's going on in the United States.
So, Justin Trudeau didn't really have many answers, so we took it over to Kayleigh McNanny. And we finally got the meaning behind it.
Going and standing by St. John's Church was a very important moment. And I would note that through all of time, we've seen presidents and leaders across the world who have had leadership moments and very powerful symbols that were important for a nation to see at any given time to show a message of resilience and determination. Like Churchill, we saw him inspecting the bombing damage. It sent a powerful message of leadership to the British people. And
yep, you heard it right. Trump was just compared to Churchill. So don't worry, Britain, I've got this. Hey, McNanny Panani, at a time when the streets of America have turned into one big pre-concussion era NFL game and black people are still not allowed to kneel, let's not compare a military veteran who went to war with fascism with one who cowers in a bunker tweeting about it. And meanwhile, in Australia, a citizen felt more pressing matters needed to be brought to the government's attention, reminiscent of his marked absence during the bushfires. Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison was once again not where he was supposed to be.
Has been delivered. 10,000 Australians.
Can everyone get off the grass, please?
Sure. Let's just move back from there.
Hey, guys, I've just reseated that.
Please, off the thing.
Sorry, mate.
All good. It's all good.
Just reseated it.
So it's the projects that count.
That was the week that was. We'll be coming back at you with all this and more after this. Welcome back, guys. So, quite a lot going on in the world this week, I suppose. The Black Lives Matter movement has obviously spread all over the cause. And Donald Trump, well, he's not exactly promoting a message of leadership, wouldn't you say, guys? I don't know if anyone wants to comment on this.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's just a bit of a catastrophe, really, isn't it? The whole entire situation. I'm a bit puzzled, really, as to what to say, other than the fact that I'm just disappointed, really, in the whole situation with regards to Donald Trump. I saw this about him having the Bible and tear-gassing people to get the Bible opportunity. It sounds like something that, like, I don't know, China would do. And it's just kind of come full swing, and America's following suit. I expect that Donald Trump will be gone after the elections, and then I realise that Joe Biden is the one up against him, and then realise that maybe he won't be gone. So...
Well, we did speak about this last week, and we did talk, or was it last, no, probably the week before, I think, about how if the Democrats really, really wanted to get rid of Donald Trump, they just would not have put forward the nomination of Joe Biden, who now has officially got the nomination, by the way, so he's no longer the presumptive Democratic nominee, he is the Democratic nominee.
So it's between Trump and Biden, that's the bottom
it
line.
It is. Yeah, well, I mean, there will be some independents in the field, but, you know, it's pretty not negligible.
Hopefully Trump stays.
Oh, yeah. Oopsie. Well, the thing is, the one question I would have to ask you guys is, I do feel like the media gets so wrapped up in all of Trump's mishaps and, like, complete bamboozling mistakes that that I'm not sure what they're going to talk about once he's gone. I mean, I don't know if you agree with that, Nibsy.
I think the majority of the comments he makes just get misconstrued. One, for a lack of a better way of expressing himself, he's not a very good public speaker. He can sell ice to Eskimos, but he's just not a very good public speaker. But, you know, he makes some good points. Like he said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Okay. If you think about that literally, okay, that's pretty messed up. That's fair enough. But how are you supposed to handle the situation? Like, they've lost complete control of this, the whole state. So he's got to say something strong and affirmative, and then as soon as he says it, he's ridiculed. But if he said, oh, no, I'm with you, I think you should just keep looting, then that would have been even worse for him. So it's a hard job he's got. It really is.
Lawrence, yeah, you're shaking your head there.
What is on? No, of course. When the looting starts, the shooting starts. It's not the right response to anything. The right response is to say something, I don't know, along the lines of, and this is why I'm not the Prime Minister or the President of the United States, but to say something along the lines of, okay, this is really serious. It seems like we've lost control locally. We'll be sending in the police to do everything we can to prevent this from getting any worse, and we will try and stop this from turning into a serious situation. Obviously, it's within everyone's rights to peacefully protest, and we will ensure that is allowed to continue whilst we prevent any violence or any wrong, you know, whatever happening. Boom, job done. You don't have to say shooting starts.
That's a fair point. That is a fair point. But I also believe that there are two separate groups doing all the bullshit that's going on in America. I don't believe that it is, you know, that the supporters of George Floyd who lost his life, I don't think they are the same people who are looting and burning and causing all this chaos. Because a lot of things are surfacing to the internet now. And there's a lot of evidence showing that this is like, this is actually being funded and fueled by I don't know who, so I can't point the finger or say names, but there is like a hidden agenda behind it. I mean, this is just something that's been getting thrown around. I don't know how true it is. What are your opinions on it, Dom?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there's definitely two sides to it. I think you're absolutely right, Nibs, when you say that you have a bunch of peaceful protesters who have every right to protest. The killing of George Floyd was just absolutely abhorrent. But then, of course, you do have a bunch of, for better one better word, you know, than another, who could really be called terrorists, who are underlying and promoting anarchy and promoting looting. And to be honest, probably wouldn't be doing it if they had not been cooped up inside for 3 months, quite as bad as they have been. I mean, I think there's a lot of underlying for you know, that segmentation of this protest. There's a lot of underlying anger and distrust in government handling over the coronavirus that is probably fueling that section of the protest. And unfortunately, it is undermining the actual core message of the Black Lives Matter protest.
Completely.
Have you seen the videos of, like, people handing out bricks and handing out money to people to go and do damage?
Yeah.
Saw some of those online the other day. Well, the key here is, whenever you want to find out the answer to who's behind something or why something's happening, just follow the money. Job done. Who's rich and has an interest in getting Trump to look like an idiot?
Well, that's just...
Whoever that is the one who's probably doing it. It's always the way. Just follow the money. Follow the money is the answer for everything.
Okay, so, and then, I don't know, what did you pick up on? You both sort of expressed surprise that McNanny compared Donald Trump to Churchill, but this made me really, really mad, guys. Really mad. I usually can laugh about most things that... Uncle Donnie says or does, but I mean, this made me really mad because, you know, you can't, yes, like Anderson Cooper actually did quite a good little segment on CNN, which he basically said the only similarity between those two is that they were both born from into privilege. And besides that, there's not really any similarities. And I just felt like as a Brit, I needed to take a swipe back for our great Prime Minister. Let's not put him in the same boat as Uncle Donnie there. So
yeah, I mean, we all remember Winston Churchill, you know, tear gassing all the people around the bomb sites and shooting them all rubber bullets in order to get his opportunity next to the bomb site.
No, it
didn't happen. So yeah,
when I watched the video, I genuinely thought Donald Trump was trying, like, pretending, thought he was being Moses, like marching across the Red Sea, and then he just, like, stood there and he just held up this Bible, like, which you could clearly tell he's never read, never opened, probably couldn't name three of Jesus's disciples. You know, so I was just a bit confused, really.
There's got to be more to the story than the president, the most, you know, a very, very intelligent man and a very powerful man, decides at the midst of all of this chaos to walk out of his front door, walk across the road to his church, and hold up a Bible like that. Okay, if there's no motive for that, then I've lost all respect for Donald Trump. And I'm a big fan. I really am. I'm a big fan. He's doing a great job. He's doing a great job.
I know you are, Nibsy. I mean, honestly, but it became very clear when Kayleigh McNanny said what she said. The motive was to try, and I clipped a bit of it out because she also went on to talk about how when George Bush threw out the first pitch, I think at a Yankees game after 9/11, something about Jimmy Carter as well. She was talking about defining leadership moments in history. And the thing is like, it was like what this clearly was him trying to do one of those moments. But those moments you don't orchestrate. Those moments happen. Like, those moments happen because you're a leader, because, you know, because you have great responsibility on your shoulders, and they happen. And you can't orchestrate these moments. So that's where, I mean, I felt we bordered from the ridiculous to the complete, absolutely insane.
Yeah, I think his PR team told him to do it, basically. And
well, apparently, there is a rumour, and this is a rumour, I don't want to be on the, you know, spreading the fake news, but apparently it was actually Ivanka Trump's idea, his daughter's. And I don't know if we've learned anything, but, I mean, parents should not always listen to their kids. I mean, I think if most parents listen to their kids, they would be eating candy for breakfast, and they would have peanut butter whenever they want, right?
Yeah, go and watch John Wick. That's an example of what happens when you listen to your kids.
We will take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will go through some of your stories this week. Lawrence has promised me some absolute bombshells this week. So, given he's had 2 weeks off, he's had 3 weeks to prepare for this. So, please do, if you've got anything you want to get into us, please do email us in at podcast@tw3media.co.uk or tweet us at the twit box TW3 Media. We'll be right back after this. And we're back. So, Lawrence, I'm going to let you take it over. You've got some barn burners.
Thank you very much, Dominic.
They've just been described coming down.
Thank you, Dominic. So, yeah, I've been up to a lot in the last few weeks. Obviously, you guys haven't heard me for 2 weeks. I'm very sorry. The star of the show has now returned. As you're aware, I'm here. Fret no more. I've been up to some serious journalism for the last 2 weeks. Did you just say the swans fly?
the star of the show.
Serious journalistic. I'm searching through papers late at night. I'm really trying to find the crux of the truth. I was flying back last week from Brazil. It was a long ordeal, 30 hours it took. 4 international airports, 3 flights. Now, the main issue with all of these situations was that the airport's fantastic. You know, there's alcohol gel everywhere, there's spacing everywhere, making a great job of it. Had to wear a mask inside. Wonderful. The planes, every single one, entirely fully booked. And landing at every single country, there was no requirements to go through any control, any temperature checks, nothing. Nada. So on my flight from Brazil to Lisbon, I was sat right next to a guy coughing the entire flight in a little sort of chamber of air in a shitty plane the entire way back. And then on my flight back to London, I was the only person with an English passport on the flight back of 250 plus people. So I don't know what the UK government's up to, because I then arrived, they're letting all these people in, and obviously I'm fine with letting, you know, I don't care about immigration. I'm very, you know, liberal in that sense usually. But it is coronavirus, so maybe we should kind of be checking that people have a reason to be coming into the country. You know, it just seems pretty unbelievable. They're letting you all on a plane to get the coronavirus on the plane, and then they're letting you all in without any checks. I had no checks whatsoever. I just put my passport down, welcome back, and then I just wandered through, and that was it. I didn't have to wear a mask. So, yeah, pretty disappointing there. Yeah, go ahead, Nibs.
I reckon coronavirus is a fucking sham.
Yeah, seems it, mate. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Sorry to put it out there. I know a lot of you are like working from home and stuff like that. Sorry to any listeners that I offend, but it's all a hoax. There's no controls in place. What's happening?
It's absolutely.
Well, I did actually. I don't know if you picked it up, Lawrence, because you've been off. But I think 2 weeks ago, I did kind of make a bit of a joke about this, because it just defies all logic and reason. How you can enforce 2 meter social distancing on a plane and in an airport. And my particular favourite is how you quite do that on the Gatwick Express coming back, or the Heathrow Express, or whatever Express. Yeah. Do you see what I mean? It defies all logic and reason. So, I mean, my question to you, okay, is did everyone still jump up at the same time when the seatbelt sign came off?
Yes.
Of course they did. Yeah, of course
they sent out a message that specifically... They sent out a message, and if I tell you anything, Brazil was the best when it came to crowd control, which is ironic because everyone assumes the Europeans are the best. No, actually, Europe had the worst controls in place compared to Brazil. But at least Brazil put a message out in both Portuguese and English saying, please do not jump up straight away. We will be coming through to let you out in certain files. But the flights to Portugal and England didn't do that at all. The inter-Brazilian one did, so they tried at least. But yeah, I was pretty disappointed. Just so there, everyone can see that, you know, from real experience, I did a 30-hour slog. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. But yeah, no one's checking temperatures, no one's checking anything, and they're just letting you straight in. It doesn't matter where you come from either, if you're a British citizen or not. Come on in.
So really, it just looks like we've been listening to...
a bunch of crap, basically.
Fake news. Come on, Dom.
Oh,
he's waiting. He's waiting.
You're fake news.
I need a soundboard.
There we go. Nibsy, we need to get the voice out with a soundboard so you can do your own little jokes there.
But I've got more. I've got more. This is even more of a big news piece, guys. So I, again, was scouring.
Dun, dun, dun.
This last week, right, while you guys have all been concentrating on these protests and on Donald Trump. No. The real news for this last week, okay? The real theme of the week, surprisingly enough, has been people sticking things up their penis, okay? Now, that is something that has appeared many times this week, okay, on the news. And it honestly has, more than I've ever come across before, okay? So the first piece I saw, okay, was called Man Sticks Phone Charger Up Penis But Tells Doctors He Swallowed It, okay? This comes from India, where a 30-year-old man didn't tell doctors. He told doctors he swallowed his phone charger, right? So they cut open his abdomen, couldn't find anything, and went up his ass, couldn't find anything, until eventually he was honest and was like, look, okay, I stuck it up my willy. And it turned out he had a 2-foot-long phone charger, a normal thick phone charger, up his, in his bladder, okay?
What the heck?
Yeah, exactly. Apparently he enjoyed it.
Do you think this is people getting really bored from being in lockdown and just trying new things? Because I do actually, I'll give you a slight teaser to the TW3 award this week. It is going to be something slightly sexual, which is unusual for me. Nibsy's got a smile in his face because he knows what's coming. So you think people are just getting really bored?
Pretty much. And it seems to be the penis insertions, because again, You've got another piece of news from this week of a curious young boy who inserted 20 magnetic balls up his penis and didn't tell his parents. So he was dealing with like a lot of pain and basically was just really struggling. He's an 11-year-old kid. He shoved these. Where he's from, South China, and he shoved buckyballs, which are small magnet toys, up his penis. 20 of them.
Okay.
So yeah, it seems to be. Yeah, I think you guys have. You know, we've all got it all wrong here. Everyone, we're all constructing these protests and these dangerous things. No, penis insertions is the theme of this week. That's my
hard hitting. Okay. Well, we'll let Greg know with the title of the episode this week. You can battle it out between Trump's Moses walk and penis insertions. Well, you now know Lawrence is officially back because we have a story about male genitalia, female genitalia, or something genitalia, or anything sexual. So, right, guys, it is time for a little game, I think. We have not had...
I got fake news for you.
For a little while, so I think it's time, guys. Are you ready?
Yes.
I am. Go.
Okay, guys. So, I've got three stories, and one of them is fake news. Okay. So, the first story, CNN won an award for being fake news. A vote on a bill in Brazil targeting fake news has been delayed. An elephant was killed after eating food filled with firecrackers in India. Those are your three stories. You can contemplate those, ask me some questions, and I will endeavour to answer them.
So, I mean...
Lawrence, this is usually where you come with like a... Here we go, Nibsy, you can take over. So my first question...
My first question is, why was the elephant anywhere near fireworks?
It was put into the elephant's food to kill it.
What? Well, why?
Why would anyone do that? That's
an asshole.
Nah, that's... I'm hoping that's the fake story.
Well, I mean, that is the aim of the game. So you...
Dom's trying not to say anything, isn't he? He's trying not to say anything.
Dom's being okay. Very coy.
Okay. What's your other question, Nibs?
My second question is, who gave CNN the award? Was it Donald Trump?
Donald Trump. Yeah.
Because I'm the president and you're fake news.
What a shocker.
Yeah, this is actually an absolute corker. It's one of the best stories I've ever found doing this Have I Got Fake News For You show. It's actually a little bit older, but I just couldn't not put it in there. It's just an absolute corker. Anyway, sorry, I've just kind of given that one away a little bit.
Yeah, that's well, unless he's playing a double bluff.
Unless I could be. Lawrence, do you have any questions, or should we make up our minds?
So this law is about fake news, and so the second one you said was it about like banning fake news, was it, or is it just about?
Yeah. Okay. So look, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in the Brazilian political system and the intricacies of how laws pass.
I'm not. I can assure you.
But yeah, essentially, there's a law targeting fake news and putting more onus on social media companies, as we've seen in a lot of different countries. And the president, and I'm going to absolutely butcher this pronunciation worse than I do Nibal Abimlimbum.
Jair Bolsonaro.
Jair Bolsonaro.
No, you got it. You got it. Jair Bolsonaro. Yeah, Jair Bolsonaro.
I'm just getting antsy.
Jair Bolsonaro. He's very upset about this because obviously he's quite a far right person, and I guess a bit like Donald Trump and getting muted by Twitter. This is clearly a platform with which he uses to spread his message. And yeah, the Senate are trying to pass this law or something. So yeah.
Right. Okay. I reckon the fake news is going to be, I'm hoping and praying it's number three, because number two, I can totally believe there's so much infighting in Brazil between the president and his backups and all the other people in, but it's just so ridiculous. And then the first one sounded pretty true. You got really excited about it. So I'm going to say number three is fake.
Yeah, me too.
So you're saying the elephant story, yeah?
Come on, come on.
Yeah, please be fake. Okay. So the elephant story is fake news. Thank God.
Yay!
Save Elmo. Yeah, so elephants did die, though, unfortunately. But it was this like weird thing in India whereby a bunch of kind of fake news was spread on the internet about an elephant being fed food filled with firecrackers to kill it. And it turned out it wasn't true. And we'll link the article in the description. But then a kind of wave of people trying to correct this person called Amar Prasad Reddy, who was spreading this information, basically said that the elephant was not intentionally fed pineapples filled with firecrackers by someone. It actually accidentally ate the explosives, which are used to ward off wild boars and protect the crops. I mean, it's illegal, but in that part of the world, you see what I mean? So...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, an elephant did die, which is very sad. But this was fake news. Now, on to the absolute cream of the crop. Oh, yeah, the Brazil story is true. Bolsonaro or Nero is getting very upset by that. Now, this is probably an absolute... Well, this is a corker. Basically, Donald Trump created a fake news contest, it turns out. I didn't know this. We all know that he says...
You're fake news.
...all the time, but we didn't know he actually awarded trophies, okay? And he does. So, basically, he once tweeted out, we should have a contest as to which of the networks, plus CNN and not including Fox, is the most dishonest, corrupt, and or distorted in its political coverage of your favourite president, brackets, me... They are all bad. Winner to receive the fake news trophy.
What on earth?
So basically, CNN has actually won this four times, all right? So this award, they've actually won it four times, yeah. So 10 people have won the award. And it's like literally just articles that disagree with Trump, basically, that they get. It gets awarded on a particular story. And perhaps one of my favorite quotes is that the New York Daily News expressed disappointment that it did not win an award because they were very upset and they wanted to know to whom they complain. So yeah, I mean, CNN's won it four times, ABC News has won it once, New York Times won it twice, Washington Post won it once, Time Magazine, I think that is, won it once. Fake news all around, really. But that is true.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. It's not actually Donald Trump. Basically, the GOP, the Republican Party, kind of award it on his behalf. But I'm sure he probably has some kind of say, I would have thought. So anyway,
I'm sure he instigated it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, guys, that was...
I got fake news for you.
We better take a break, and then we will be back with a TW3 award, and we'll be looking at some good news of the week. We'll be right back after this. Right, guys. So, it is that time of the month where we award a TW3 award. And boy, do we have an absolute corker. Drum roll, please. The TW3 award goes to two men who snuck into a bedroom with machetes after being hired to carry out a stranger's sexual fantasy of being tied up in his underwear and stroked with a broom, only to discover they had got to the wrong address. This happened in Sydney, Australia. I can't even keep a straight face while reading this. It happened from in Sydney, Australia, and basically they walked into a the guy's name's Terence Leroy, and he walked into this stranger's bedroom with machetes, with the intent of tying up this guy and then stroking him with a broom. Okay, and he went basically the guy. Okay, just. Seemingly had a conversation with them, said that it wasn't the right guy, and they left. But then, of course, they went to court for trespassing, or for whatever the criminal act is in Australia. Was. Yeah. So, well done, Terence Leroy. You have the TW3 award. We'll be posting it to Nibsy, and he's going to track you down because. It's one of the most marvellous things. Apparently he said, when he walked into the room, he said, "Bugger off, it's too early." And then a guy kept saying, "Is your name Kevin?" He kept saying, "No." and then they just said in like the most strange, like one of the most like odd things ever, the guy just said, "Sorry, mate," shook the resident's hand, and then said bye, and they walked out. So that is the TW3 award.
Hasn't can I add that the judge has cleared him, hasn't he? He cleared him.
Yeah, he
yeah,
did.
They got yeah, cleared. Yeah.
I think rightfully so.
I know you.
I've actually got a couple of things I want to say about this.
Yeah, go on then.
So. Not only is this a really, really strange story, right? But the thing that I couldn't wrap my head around was when this story surfaced and I actually read the article. So this man was willing to pay $5,000 to have this sexual fantasy fulfilled. One, he put the wrong address up online and then only changed it later on after the agreement was made. So these guys rocked up to a complete stranger's house, and when the stranger was interviewed, the stranger said, "Well, I usually have a friend come past early in the morning and make himself a cup of coffee." And these guys have come to his house really early in the morning, and he's gone, "Piss off, you bastards, it's too early," thinking it was his friend making a coffee. And these guys have yelled out, "Is your name Kevin?" And he's like, "No." And he's like, "You sure your name's not Kevin?" He's like, "No, I'm not Kevin. What are you doing in my house?" and then that, obviously he goes to court and he's been cleared because obviously he got a pretty good lawyer considering how much publicity this got. But his lawyer just said like he didn't break in with the intent to harm. So he got off scot-free. But the judge did say it was a very strange case.
I mean, honestly, it is right though, isn't it? I mean, because I think they got the guy who arranged it, didn't they? They got the guy who arranged it originally to testify. The guy who walked in, so they got everyone to testify. And at the end of the day, it is true. Like, he's just got the wrong address.
So
sorry, mate.
It's worked out really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Nibsy, if you can get this man on for an interview, I will. Like,
mate,
I
will make it at the top of my priority list to get contact with this
just
guy.
Try and
we have
track
to actually
down.
Get an award. We have to make an award
yeah,
for it.
I will. I oh, will make an award yeah. and we will send it to him because this guy wins. He just wins everything in my book. This is one of the best ones that we've ever given out, I think. So congratulations. All right, guys. We're probably getting up to where we need to tail things off. Lawrence, have you got one more story?
Okay, right, guys. It's to do with where fruit and vegetable and other foods should be kept, whether in or outside of the fridge. This one I thought was interesting because I come across a lot of people who, for example, like to keep chocolate in the fridge or don't like to keep chocolate in the
fridge.
I
love keeping chocolate in the fridge. My chocolate is always in the fridge.
Chef here. Right, okay. So apparently you're wrong. Chocolate should always be stored in a slightly cool, dry, dark space such as a cupboard or pantry at temperatures less than 21 degrees centigrade to ensure the quality isn't compromised. So you're wrong. Where do you guys think bananas should be kept? In or outside of the fridge?
Outside the fridge.
Okay. What about you, Dom?
The one thing I know about bananas is you have to keep it away from absolutely everything because it ripens other fruit and veg, right?
It does. Yeah.
And yeah, it does. When bananas get really ripe, it can actually make other things smell like banana. Like, I left the bananas on top of my bread once, and I basically made banana bread. I'm not even kidding you. It tasted like banana bread. I also left in there some crackers. And I was eating cheese. I was having my cheese and Roquefort in the evening with a nice glass of red. And these crackers were just like...
Gosh, old man. Guys, I had Roquefort cheese and wine on crackers. And I was shooting people outside the window.
And bananas.
My banana.
Why don't you say it properly?
Bananas.
Wait, what, how do you say it properly, Nibs?
Bananas.
Banana.
Yeah, mate, give me a banana.
That's a soundbite.
Anyway, banana. That's definitely coming back next week.
Well, it turns out, guys, I can tell you that bananas should be kept in the fridge, apparently, according to science.
Right.
So, well, apparently, placing them in a cool environment once at your preferred level of ripeness can actually help prolong the shelf life. Whilst the skin will continue to brown, the flesh inside remains the same and extends the shelf life by at least a week. So there you go. Bananas should be kept in the fridge. Cucumbers shouldn't be kept in the fridge, even though people usually keep them in the fridge. Wow. Apparently that can actually cause them to react badly and age quicker. So there you go, guys. I didn't realise that everything I did in the world was wrong, but apparently it is, according to scientists. So, I'm sorry.
I keep chocolate in... I don't want to sound like... Who bites ice creams? I can't remember. Is it Greg that bites ice creams?
Oh,
it's Greg. God. It's Greg. Yeah.
I don't want to sound like Greg, who bites ice creams, and it's a little bit strange. But... I definitely keep chocolate in the fridge. It tastes so much better when it's in the fridge.
Sociopath.
Yeah, it is.
It's not. What? Being a sociopath, keeping chocolate in the fridge?
Yep, you're a sociopath.
It tastes better.
Anyway, do you eat dark chocolate or normal chocolate?
I like both.
I like both, yeah, but mostly normal milk chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any more, Lawrence? Do you have any more? Like, what? Because now I'm really interested what I'm doing wrong.
Oh, I do. I can
get
more.
Yeah, so tomatoes, I don't put in the fridge. Tomatoes stay outside of the fridge.
Now, tomatoes aren't mentioned here, so I apologise. I can't give you the answer to that one. But I can look it up for the next week if you'd like. But
yeah,
I can give
please.
You, here we are, oranges outside the fridge. Apparently the moisture ruins the skin and subsequently flavour. They're most likely to thrive in a fruit bowl. I like that phrase. They're most likely to thrive in a fruit bowl. And fruits which fall under the berry category, such as raspberries, strawberries, blackberries and cherries, should always be in the fridge. But some others... Okay. It's quite confusing. But essentially, the overall thing here... Fruits such as apricots, kiwis and mangoes are best left to ripen outside of the fridge. However... Once you reach the preferred ripeness level, then you should keep them in the fridge to continue their life. So essentially, yeah, I mean, there's no real one rule for all of them. It's
are
actually
avocados
quite a situation
in there?
So avocados, apparently avocados, like apples and bananas, can really ripen other things around them. I'm just trying to see if it tells you. Where are we? It doesn't say about avocados. I'm assuming it would be in the fridge like bananas. So you leave them to ripen outside.
Yeah.
Once they reach your preferred ripen level, then shove them in the fridge and then the inside will stay as you want it for a while, I presume.
Is a banana not considered a berry?
No. What the hell? No.
No, Nibs.
What are you on about, mate?
What?
Berry?
Does one's fly?
What's not
berry? Can someone fact check this? Cause...
What?
Yeah, we haven't.
Wait.
Hang on.
Hold on, we've got a soundbite.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Maybe I'm thinking of something else that's considered a berry.
Yeah, you're thinking of strawberry.
Dom, can I just...
Oh, you idiot.
Oh, wait. Apparently, it's botanically considered a berry.
Oh.
What? Oh, strawberries apparently are.
Wait,
what? What, strawberries aren't?
Yeah. Yeah, what the what on earth is going on?
All right, guys, we're moving on from this segment. Nipsey just...
You have been measured and you have been weighed.
I've got to give you guys the answer. Here we go. Apparently, people have been calling fruits berries thousands of years before scientists came up with the actual definition for the word. So, essentially, botanically speaking, a berry has three distinct fleshy layers. The exocarp, outer skin, mesocarp, fleshy middle, and endocarp, innermost part, which holds the seeds. So a grape, you've got that skin, middle, and the seed bits. But obviously, bananas have that, the skin, and then they have the seed bits, those little tiny black little bits inside. But strawberries don't. The seed's on the outside, isn't it? There's no actual seed on the inside.
Yeah, but it's the only fruit with seeds on the outside.
Yeah, but
I'm beginning to question my own reality. I mean, strawberry is not a berry, apparently, but a banana is a berry.
I've got the answer for you, Dom, right, to sort this out. Pop an acid, go to a festival. You'll work it out, right? That's
okay, let's move on from this now. All right, Nipsey, you're coming up with some good news. We've grossly run over time. Guys, we're going to sign off after the good news with the Donald Trump quote of the week. Nipsey, please do take it away.
After a prolonged period of absence, we have Lawrence on the show again, which is woo! The first part of your good news. Woo-woo!
Also, is that really that good?
Dominic Lane has stocked up on his toilet paper supply and is back joining us this week also. His introductions are getting substantially better. We are also dedicating today to a Welsh singer, Tom Jones, who's turned 80th, and he bought you the song Sex Bomb. A nurse has finally located a New York City firefighter who pulled her from burning building 37 years ago, thanks to COVID-19. A river running through Zion National Park will be protected forever thanks to the Nature Conservancy. In dozens of American cities, officers kneel and protesters embrace them during rallies against bad policing. The world's first biopark lets us bury cremated remains of our loved ones so they grow into trees. A hotel has stayed open during lockdowns to help out homeless, and also... this is the last part. The Sesame Street joins CNN, which are fake news, to host a town hall Saturday addressing racism. Fake news.
Sorry, I didn't mean to grab that sentence. Excellent. Sorry, Nibsy.
Well done, man.
That's okay.
Woo! Good news.
Awesome news. All right, guys, let's bring it to a close. So this week's, we've got a Trump quote of the week. We were talking about how bad a public speaker Trump is, or someone mentioned it earlier on in this podcast, and this quote kind of sums it up a little bit. Not so much the content, but just it really iterates Nibsy's point home. Here we go. Take it away, Donnie.
Hopefully George is looking down right now and saying there's a great thing that's happening for our country. There's a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody. This is a great day for everybody. This is a great, great day in terms of equality.
And that was Donnie. Brilliant. Right, please do remember, guys, if you have anything that you want to get into us, please do email us at podcast@tw3media.co.uk or please do tweet box us at TW3Media. Nibsy.
And remember, keep your bananas in the fridge and your cucumbers in the fruit bowl. You've got it all wrong.
We are signing off now. I've been joined this week by Lawrence Ray from London. We got Nibsy from Australia. I'm your host, Dominic Lane. Thank you very much for joining us. That was the week that was. We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Wonderful.
We'll see you in a little while. Goodbye for today. We'll see you again. Are we not? Oh, come on. I made a little jingle. Actually, no, I've ripped it off a show, sorry.